Good Sunday morning, everyone. Everybody give me a wave. Good to see everybody here. We're thankful that you have chosen to be with us today. We pray that God's going to bless you. We welcome those that are out on the lawn, as well as those that are watching by simulcast over in the sanctuary. We're here for a very, very special day. You know, it's been a rough year on a lot of folks so far, but I can only imagine what it's been like for those that are in school, those that are graduating. And today's a very special day. Today is Graduate Sunday. This is a day that we're going to recognize all of the hard work and accomplishments of those that are part of our Central Baptist Church family. And we're so, so glad to be able to celebrate with them today. I know it's been a tough road. Things have been a lot different for them. But we're looking so forward to taking this time today to be able to not only honor our Lord, but to be able to honor them and the sacrifices and all the hard work that they have put forth. Also, I just want to take today and say a very special happy birthday to our keyboardist, Ms. Lynn Price, over here. If you get a chance, yeah, give her a hand. Like I say, since we're not shaking hands or hugging or anything, at least behind the scenes you might be able to, but let her know how much you appreciate her. And we also have a couple of anniversaries today. Patsy and Kim Bendigo are celebrating an anniversary. When you get a chance to see them, tell particularly Kim how thankful you are that Patsy's put up with him for all these years, as well as Stan and Tanya Crump. They're having an anniversary as well. So when you see them, be sure to let them know. I tell you what, let's look to the Lord in a word of prayer as we begin tonight. If you're viewing live with us today, thank you so much for taking the time to join us, and know that we continue to pray for each and every one of you. Let's pray together. Father, we are thankful again for this day and this moment and this opportunity that we have, Lord, to just gather in your house. Father, I know that things are different than they've ever been before, but in the midst of that difference, you're wanting to do something just really incredible in our lives and in our church and in every aspect of our lives. So, Lord, we just pray that you will help us, Father, not to be so anxious and not to try to squirm out of the situation that we're in, but, Lord, to embrace it and to embrace you in such a fashion that you can truly teach us and move us from where we are to where you want us to be. Lord, thank you for this day and this opportunity to be able to get together. Lord, for each of the graduates, not only those that are here that we'll recognize, but Father, those all over the United States and all over the world today, we celebrate with them. Lord, we're praying that they're going to attempt great things for you, all the while expecting great things from you. So, Lord, be with us during this time. May we truly honor and glorify you as we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Gone, I've been set free. mercy reigns unending long. Amazing grace. The Lord has promised good to me. His word, my hope secures. He will my shield and portion be as long as life endures. My chains are gone, I've been set free. My God, my Savior, has ransomed me. And like a flood, His mercy reigns unending long. Amazing grace. My chains are gone. My God, my Savior, has ransomed me, and like a flood, His mercy reigns unending long. Amazing grace. The earth shall soon dissolve like snow, the sun forbear to shine. But God, who called me here below, will be forever mine, will be forever mine. You are forever
good morning. Oh, that was weak. There's enough people in here, it should have been a little bit louder. Good morning. There we go. Well, it's that time of year where we celebrate the ending of a chapter and the beginning of a new chapter, and parents have to prepare to embark on a journey of sending their kids to college and all that kind of stuff. And graduates are thinking, finally, freedom, right? How many of you, all right, I see three of my graduates. How many of y'all feel like I'm free? Raise your hand. One. Well, never mind then. I was just making that up. So when I'm thinking about graduation, I kind of think about, you know, the moving from one chapter to the next, but often the what's like the verse associated with graduations? There's at least one. Y'all are talkative. Jeremiah 29:11, right? God has a plan for you, a hope and a future. You know, just follow His path, right? Well, today the sermon title is Pray and Go Seek. So we're going to kind of talk about hide and go seek as we start. And you're like, well, what does that have anything to do with what you're talking about today? Well, many years ago, I was one of those slightly rambunctious kids who, when his parents went to a store, a clothing store, or any store that had the racks that you could hide in the middle, I was the kid that always hid in the middle. And so on this one journey to Roses in Shelby, North Carolina, I think I was 5 or 6 years old, and I was the king of hide and go seek. I would hide and my parents could go find me. And so this one moment in my life that has scarred me the most was I hid in this clothes rack, and I was like, they'll never find me. And as time went by, I got to really thinking, they're never going to find me. So when I came out, my parents were gone. So I searched the store, no parents. Went outside to where the car had been parked, no car. So at this point, as a little kid, you begin to panic. You're like, I'm really good at this game, but I really want my parents right now too. And so I go to the front desk and the security officer's there. I'm like, look, I've lost my parents. And he said, what's their name? I told him. And then over the intercom in Roses, you hear Doug and Krista Gant, would you please come to the customer service counter? We have your child. To which my parents quickly came. What I later found out is Daddy had moved the car to make me think they had really left me to teach me a lesson. And all the while, I'm roaming Roses trying to figure out where my parents are. And so there are consequences to us diverting our paths. There are consequences to us avoiding what God has planned for us. And there's also that moment of when you're in God's plan, there's a peace that comes with that. And there was a peace once my parents showed up. So if you'll turn with me, we're going to be in Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 10 through verse 14. So I'll give you all a moment to get that, and then we will begin reading. So this is what it says. For this is what the Lord says, when 70 years from Babylon are complete, I will attend to you, and you will confirm my promise concerning you to restore you to this place. For I know the plans I have for you, this is the Lord's declaration, plans for your well-being, not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope. You will call to me and come pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you search for me with all of your heart. I will be found by you. This is the Lord's declaration. And I will restore your fortunes and gather you from all the nations and places where I banished you. This is the Lord's declaration. I will restore you to the place from which I deported you. So when we hear Jeremiah 29:11, we think about kind of this blessing, this motivating verse that we can use to push people forward. But when we really look at the context, you've got a people who were in exile. You've got a Jewish people who had rebelled against God, who had started worshiping idols. And God said, all right, we can fix this. I'll let you be taken captive. And God allowed them to be taken over. Nebuchadnezzar II is the king who winds up taking siege of Jerusalem. He destroys the temple. And I got a lot of history information on that here in a second. But we typically apply this verse in the sense of the beginning of your life. It's the next step forward. Just trust that God has a plan for you. And we don't ever really think about the fact that this verse was given to a people whose worlds had been completely flipped upside down. They had been stripped from their homes. Every comfort they had was gone. Their favorite restaurant in town was shut down, and they weren't allowed to go there anymore because now they're in a totally different town. Do you see where this is going? And so there was this time where God says, look, I've got a plan for you, just trust me. And it's not just, I got a plan for you, trust me and follow me, but it's I know your world has been flipped, I know your world has been destroyed, but trust me, this is for your best. And the best thing is that when we hear, I have the plans for you, it's a plural you in the original Hebrew. It's not you individually, but it's plural. And so this means that God's plan isn't just for you, but it's for you, me, they, them, you all, y'all, and you-ins, which is y'all plus three according to Jeff Foxworthy. So it's for everybody. It's not just singled out to one person. His promise was for all of his people. What we need to understand is that Jeremiah is giving this promise in the midst of terrible circumstances. 2020 has dealt us a lovely hand that we have had to play. We have been not stripped from our homes, but confined to our homes. We've not been allowed to embrace the things that make us comfortable. We've not been able to just go here, there, and yonder and have a good old time. We have been forced into a situation of abnormality for most of us. Although our comforts are still there, some aren't within reach anymore. We've been removed from our friends and coworkers. We've been on lockdown with our crazy family members. I know my family has been. And if you're sitting there going, well, we don't have the crazy person in the family, chances are you are the crazy person. I am the crazy person, and I take pride in that. But we've only been shut down for a few months. The Jewish people here were exiled for 70 years. Y'all want to be on lockdown for 70 years? Teaching school from home? If I have to teach another lesson of Eureka math, it's going to, whoo. Our house is not good with Eureka math, or video lessons, or let me tell you, the at-home PE, that was tough. Not for Neyland, but for me. I got to teach that somehow. But there's different theories on how long the 70 years was, but if you look at the destruction of the temple in 609, 607, somewhere in that ballpark, the people don't get to go back to Jerusalem until 537, 539. 74 years. And that means, you think, well, you know, Abraham lived to be 1,800 years old. You think 70 years is just a drop in the bucket. No, at this point in time, the average lifespan was 70 years. So some of these people would spend their entire life in exile. I know that we've felt like our worlds have been turned upside down, and I talk about how things have maybe been hard on parents and stuff, but what I've noticed is that there's been an emotional change in our young people. And so I'm trying to figure out why things are going haywire at my house, and I'm reading articles, and this one article I read said, you've got to understand that young people are in a time of mourning. They're experiencing the loss. They've lost contact with their friends. They've lost normalcy. They've lost extracurricular activities or sports that they would have been playing in. So what they take joy in has been taken from them. And until I read that article, I didn't get it. I didn't know why there were tears being shed at my house every time we talked about schoolwork and stuff like that. Once I put it in perspective, I understood that, hey, it's not just about being stuck at home. There's more to it than that. So this sermon, although directed toward the class of 2020, isn't just meant for the class of 2020. I think we all can relate to the fact that our worlds have been turned upside down. Parents have had to teach from home. Some people have lost jobs. Some people have had their jobs cut back. And some people have had their responsibilities increased. When that happens, we start to ask questions. Why, God, are you letting this happen? Can't you just heal the whole world in an instant? Can't we just get past this and move forward? God, where are you right now? And the reality is that God hasn't strayed far, but our paths have taken us away from God. We've hidden in the clothes rack. And I'm not saying that this is God's punishment on his people, but what I am saying is that God has a way of getting our attention when we think that we've got this taken care of. Remember, they're in Babylon. What's Babylon known for? It's known for rebelling against God. People thought they could do it all by themselves and build a tower to God. Whoop, nope, that didn't work. God said, I'll make you all talk different languages and send you to all different places. So this one of the commentaries I read said that God used Babylon as his punitive sword, his rod of correction, his disciplinary action. And you've got to understand that this wasn't the first time the Jews had been exiled. They had a habit of getting exiled, taken over, because of their disobedience and their rebellion. I don't want to bore you with a lot of history about the Jewish people and the Babylonian exile. But what we need to understand is that God has a plan. And when we divert from the path, things happen. And in this moment where things had started to happen to the Jewish people, God said, look, I want you to understand that, yeah, this is a bad time for you. But I'm still here. I've still got a plan for you. This is what you need to do. And so I think that's why when we only quote verse 11, we do a disservice to this whole section. Because we still have verses 12, which says, you will call to me and come to me or and pray to me, and I will listen. God's close enough to hear our voices when in our messed up worlds, when things are going bad, our bad circumstances. If we just call to him, he doesn't say, I might hear you, or leave a voicemail, I'll get back to you later, or text me and I'll get back to you when I'm not driving. He says, I will hear you. And that's a definitive statement. It's a promissory statement saying that I'm only as far from you as you talking to me. Verse 13, you will seek me and find me. You will search for me with all of your heart. If we go looking for God, who are we going to find?
Larry down at the store.
No. God says, search for me with all of your heart and you will find me. He's not hiding from us. It's not God just going, all right, count to 20, you turn around, come find me. No, when we seek God, we find God. When we call to him, he hears us. Verse 14, I will be found by you, the declaration of the Lord, and I will restore your fortunes and gather you from all the nations where I've banished you, and I'm going to bring you back together. So if we pray, he hears us. If we seek him, he finds us. And when we do this with all of our heart, he restores us. Here's my challenge to the class of 2020. You've experienced some of the toughest times in our nation. You've experienced some of the toughest times in your life. The goal for you now, though, is that as you enter a new phase of life that will challenge your direction, that will throw curves at you, that will not always go as planned, is that you pray and use that as your power source and that you wholeheartedly seek God because he will find you. The next chapter in your life will be characterized by times that are simple and easy, but also by times that we think you're not going to make it. Remember, though, that the Jews were exiled from home for 70 years. May your lives be characterized by praying and seeking God, and when all is said and done, you will be restored. When I read this, I think of the game of Marco Polo, where one person's blindfolded and they're screaming Marco, and everybody who's trying not to get tagged says, Polo, Marco Polo. Now, if you play it right and you're not moving throughout the game, if you find your spot and stay, eventually you will be found because you keep calling out. When we call, there's a response. When we pray to God, there's a response. When we say Marco, he says, Polo. Like, I think it should be that loud in our ear. And I don't think he has like a sissy voice. I think it's real deep. But God doesn't want us to play a game. And so often we try to play the game of Marco Polo with God without even saying Marco. And hope we find him along the way. Sometimes we don't even play the game with God. We just go about our way. Have you ever played Marco Polo by yourself? That's weird. I had to do that a lot as a kid. Just kidding. You see, as humans, our inclination is to play the game without yelling Marco and doing things in our own power. Our inclination as human beings is to try to do life without ever acknowledging God's role in it. Well, this is what I want to do with my life. Well, have you sought God for that? Well, no. Didn't know I was supposed to pray and seek God's will for my life. God wants us to call to him in prayer, just like we're saying Marco. And when we talk to him honestly and truthfully and listen for his response, what we have is the ability to find him right where he is and where he has always been. The same is true for everyone listening, watching in here today. We can't play Marco Polo on our own. We can't do life by ourselves. You can't achieve heaven and all the promises of God with leaving him out of the equation. We've all been promised that if we pray and wholeheartedly seek God, we will find him. Christopher Wright, in his commentary on Jeremiah, says this: we should notice the gospel, which is good news, of these verses contain the indicative verbs, then you will and I will. The movements of the people's heart to seek God is itself a gift of God's grace, even while it is at the same time the necessary condition in which they can receive his grace. God's grace gives what God commands. Similarly here, the statements, you will seek me and find me, I will be found by you, are both promissory statements. They tell us that God is supreme and will be found and known if we seek him, and that is the only source of his people's life and blessing. There's another side to this, though. If we do not seek God wholeheartedly, you will not find his shalom, his peace. What you will find is unfulfillment, confusion, that sense of no direction. Because you've sought to do things your way and not his way. I've shared many times about how I entered the college world on my terms without seeking God. And by year three of college, I was staying up till early in the morning, and then one night, I was actually awake and flipping through the channels, and not a thing was on except a Billy Graham service. And to me, it was in that moment that God said, now that you're quiet, now that you're not distracted, hear me out. And until I decided to follow God's will for my life and abandon my own plans, I never found God. It was after that. But two, I never had peace. I begged for a semester off because I wasn't happy. I was miserable. I didn't know what I was doing. I didn't know why I was following what I was following. And so in that moment, I had to stop and seek God with all my heart. One of my study notes says this: the exile's future rested on God's gracious promise, his plans for his people, prosperity and hope, future restoration depended on their willingness to seek God wholeheartedly. Graduates, your future rests on you wholeheartedly praying and seeking God. Everyone else here today, your future rests on you praying and wholeheartedly seeking God. The promise of God for a hope and a future does not automatically change our situation, change our circumstances. It can relieve us, it could change it, but most of the time we have to wait out our 70 years. Not literally, but you know what I mean. Sometimes it calls for us to endure for a moment so that we can be restored when we finally choose to follow God. The message is this: pray and go seek. Pray for God to work in your life. Pray for God to work in the lives of those that make your life hard. Pray for those who try to hold you down. In verse 7, if you look back a little bit, the Jews were told to pray for the well-being of Babylon, this place that they had been stripped from their home and sent to. They're told to pray for it. Pray for its prosperity. Pray that everything goes well in Babylon. You know why? Because if everything's going good in Babylon, who's in Babylon? The Jews were. But it also teaches us humility to pray for those who have come against us, who have hurt us. And so when we pray for the well-being of those who are against us, everything starts to kind of settle a little bit. I want to share this before I get into the closing part. God didn't send the message through Jeremiah that said, all right, you're in exile, just chill, ride the wave, and when 70 years is up, I'll open the door, you go home. God didn't say, you know what, easy greasy, just be patient. You know what he said? He said, I need you to do something. While you're exiled, you need to seek me. You need to talk to me. We need to be in communication. So our role as believers, when life gets turned upside down, just like it has been the past few months, is not that we just sit at home and go, all right, we're just going to ride this out. No, it's in those times that we are supposed to be talking to God probably more than we normally would. It's in those times that we're supposed to be seeking His will for our lives wholeheartedly. It's in those times that we try to figure out what God's plan is for us. How can we see God in a moment like this? Submit everything to God in prayer, then seek Him with every fiber of your being. That is what with your whole heart means here. The Hebrew here is levav, which means inner man, mind, your will, your heart, your soul, understanding, all your passion, and your whole conscience. Every fiber of your being is supposed to be tuned in to seeking God. I'll end with some quotes. Two of them are from Charles Spurgeon. One is from Tony Evans. Spurgeon says regarding this passage, the point here is that the Lord still had plans for them. The Lord never forgets His own. With the Lord, there is neither question nor debate. His plan is settled, and He adheres to it. Even though His children had turned to idolatry and rebellion, God's plans stayed the same. God doesn't deviate the plan. We deviate off the plan. And when we pray and seek Him, He restores us to the plan. Second quote from him, wholeheartedness is the quality required of every true seeker. This means three things. One, in order to find the Lord, there must be an undivided objective in the seeker's mind. The phrase with all your heart indicates with the entire faculties of our being. Three, it signifies an awakened energy. It includes getting out of that dull, sluggish, indifferent spirit that seems so common. Indifference to eternal realities seems to impregnate the air we breathe in this world. We are busy about 1,000 things, but sluggish about our own souls. And then Tony Evans says this, seeking God wholeheartedly means or demands more than attending church on Sunday, tapping our feet to the music, hearing a sermon and saying amen. Unless we commit our hearts to the Lord 24/7, we will be no different 12 months from now. But when we worship and obey the Lord through our day-to-day walk with Him, He's ready to communicate with us and even change our circumstances. So as the musician comes, this is what I want you to think about. As we wind this down, where are you? Are you exiled in Babylon right now? Do you feel like there's no hope and you just need God's promise to really show itself? Maybe you don't even know about God's promise. Maybe this is the first time you've ever heard that God has a plan for you regardless of how your life's going right now. We all have a choice to make that determines the path of our future and our attaining of the hope that is in Christ. We make the choice to follow Him and attain that hope. If we make the choice to go our own way, we will fall short every time. We will wind up in Babylon over and over again, just like the Jewish people did in the ancient times. Getting exiled is not any fun. When I heard him say the other day that we might be due for a second round of shutdown and stay-at-home orders, I was not excited. Is that what we want for our spiritual lives, is to constantly be sent away until we can fully understand that we got to depend on God? We got to trust God. Maybe you're trying to do life your way, or you've done this your whole life and you just feel unsatisfied, confused, or lost. Maybe you feel like you're not hearing the polo after yelling Marco. Maybe God's voice is just quiet right now in your life. Maybe you step out of a clothes rack to see that nobody's there anymore. And then when you start to search and find them in your own power, you find nothing. But when you seek the help of a Savior, you find everything. Wherever you are in your relationship to God, He's waiting to hear from you. He's waiting for you to pray and seek Him with all your heart. One detail I left out of the story about roses is that You heard me specify that my dad moved the car. You know what I learned later? At all times, one of my parents had an eye on me. Regardless of how lost I felt I was, they were within saving distance. And I think that that's also God's message to us. No matter how lost you are, I'm right here. I'm not going to let anything happen to you that's going to destroy you. But I want you to seek me with all of your heart. I want you to call to me. And then I'll hear you, you'll find me, and you'll be restored. So as Lynn plays and does our invitation, maybe it's time for you to step out of the rack. Maybe it's time for you to go straight to customer service instead of trying to find your parents on your own. Because as soon as I went to that desk and asked for help, my parents showed up. And God's like that. As soon as we seek Him and ask for Him, He shows up. Often when we wander off on our own, we can't see God, but He's always close enough to rescue us. We are the ones constantly moving from Him, not Him moving from us. So during this time, if you need to make a decision to follow Jesus, I'll be right down here. After that, we'll roll into our grad recognition and celebrate the achievements of their lives. But right now, it's a time for you to make a decision between you and God. Are you going to seek Him? Are you going to pray and go seek? Or are you going to sit and stay lost? The option's yours. So as we shift gears a little bit, today, like I said in the beginning, is a day of celebration. We have many in our presence who have accomplished a lot, and you have me who's accomplished a little in the past year. I was going to set up a table. I thought I deserved it. I graduated on Friday. Granted, it was from physical therapy, but I can now do this. So I know that some of the physical therapy people said that they would be watching today just to hear me preach and see what kind of weirdo I really am. But I told one of them, I said, you know, should I like ask for cards and stuff? They said, we can't give you a card, but we can give you an invoice. I said, you know what, I'll pass. You know, I'll take what I got and move on. But I appreciate all of your prayers over the past few months from the rotator cuff surgery and those who have helped us along the way and been there for us. But today's not about me as much as I wish it was. Today is about several of our young people in our church who have accomplished great things within their lives, and particularly this past few months where they had to teach themselves for the most part, and they had to do things at home and online. And so what I'm going to do today, I'm going to do it a little bit backwards. Instead of recognizing our high schoolers first, I'm going to recognize our college first. There is a method to my madness. But our first graduate that we want to recognize today is the son of our pastor. His name is Blake Carter. He is graduating from Randolph Community College with his Associates in Arts and Applied Science, Criminal Justice. His honors were he was a member of the Phi Beta Kappa Honor Society, and he plans to continue to pursue his degree in criminal justice. He was the treasurer of the Criminal Justice Club, is that right? So he's going to continue his education, but also seeks to obtain a federal position in probation and parole. Next, coming in at however tall he is and however much he weighs, he usually yields the guitar. His name is David Wilson. He is obviously our contemporary worship leader. He is graduating with his Master's of Arts in Humanities. His honors were he was on the president's list to show off. And he plans hopefully to be able to teach online or independently. So we want to recognize him graduating from American Public University.
I love you.
Oh, sweetness. Next, we have our high school graduates. So if our high schoolers want to go ahead and make it up so we can speed this along, because we got a lot to do with high school, lots of talking. I need you in alphabetical order, except Ansley's last. Where is everybody? Our first graduate graduates from Northwest Guilford High School. Her name is Rachel Faith Blevins. She is graduating, well, has graduated as of yet Friday with her high school diploma. She had the Service Learning Award and plans to attend Appalachian State University in the fall. She's got to follow her daddy's footsteps. It's precious. Next, we have Jonathan Cazito. He is graduating from Guilford Tech Early College and Northwest High School. He graduated June the 11th, I think, and he now has his Associates in Science from Guilford Tech Early College, his high school diploma from Northwest. He was the president of the Northwest High School Computer Programming Club, vice president of the Northwest Robotics Club, academic dual enrollment stipend, published a paper on the centripetal force in rocketry with Dr. Kidd at the University of North Carolina at Greensboro. I all of a sudden don't feel so smart. Thank you for my humility. His plans are to attend the University of North Carolina at Charlotte Honor College in Mechanical Engineering and then go to North Carolina State University's Aerospace Engineering program. So if you need anything fixed, Jonathan's your guy. We also have Chad Thomas Harrell. He's graduating from Northwest High School. He also graduated June 12th with his high school diploma and plans to attend Western Carolina University in the fall. We have his twin brother, Chase, so I figured, you know, we should just put them all together, who is graduating in the top of his class from Northwest High School on June 12th, or did graduate. With his high school diploma, and he also will be attending Western Carolina University in the fall. And then we also have Blake Gardner, who is the grandson of Gay Gardner. He graduated from Northwest High School this year, and so we want to wish all of them a congratulations and blessings upon their future. Our last high school graduate from Vandalia Christian School is Ansley Faith Fondeau. She graduated May 22nd, so she's had like a lot of time to prepare for your future these past couple weeks while everybody else finished school, right? You got your future figured out now, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, awesome. She graduated with her high school college prep diploma, graduated as the salutatorian of her 2020 class. She plans to attend North Carolina State in the fall and major in mathematics and secondary mathematics education. We also have another award that Tony Price, and I don't know if Lynn's coming too, but they're going to award Ansley another award that she has worked hard in this church to obtain over the past many years. Stay right here. You want to get that moving again.
Good morning. As with everything these last few months, Awana was unfortunately came to a stop at the same time the world did. And so we weren't able to finish out our year. We weren't able to have our awards. So we certainly wanted to honor Ansley today. So this award that Lynn is holding here is called a Citation Award. This is an award that Awana gives to a clubber that has been in Awana beginning with TNT through high school, which is 10 years, and completed all 10 books. Now, I'm pretty sure that Angeli started in Cubbies, so that really means that Angeli was in Awana for 14, 15 years. I'm so proud of the kids, and Angeli is our seventh Citation Award winner here at Central. But this means that over that time, she memorized and repeated back over 800 Bible verses. Now, we're only going to have her do 799 today. But it's quite an achievement. It certainly is, as some of our other Citation Award winners have went on, and I've gotten some scholarships from Christian colleges because of this. But it is a tremendous achievement, and we certainly couldn't go this year without recognizing her in front of her church. And so her leader this year is actually for the last 4 years in high school has been Lynn, and I will let Lynn say a couple of words and then she can present this to Angeli.
Well, first off, I'm going to tell you what a blessing you've been to my heart. Just watching you grow from here to here. Not
too far.
Not a big distance height-wise, but here, just so much. Last year, serving on the mission field with you in Canada, seeing you go from just local missions to international was just amazing, working beside you. For those of you that don't know, when we went to Canada last year, I had to adopt her for a week. She was actually signed over to me. What Deb doesn't know is that I've never really relinquished that. She's still mine too. Both your girls are. But one of the things that I've just treasured so much in watching you is all of your drama. In a good sense, not normal girl drama. Everything became a source of drama for her. Acting was just so natural. And in Awana, when verses had to be said, all of a sudden it became script to her. And she would come in and she would try to say her verses, and it was just the full drama, the hands, the voice, the inflection and everything. But when it all boiled down to it, it was right here. And that's what matters. Learn it however you can, but it's never going to leave. It's going to be there. It's going to be here. And so those tough times, remember all that scripture. Remember God's love. Remember those principles and those doctrines that you learned from Awana, but also from here. He's going to do great things with you. God's got his hand on your life. The conversations that we've had about your future for the education, you're going to be amazing. And I love you with all my heart, and I'm going to give you a hug.
Put it on the stand.
I started to say, well, here, let me hold it. You can present it to him.
We'll hand it to him.
Don't drop it. It only costs $1,000. So we'll look right here. Look at your mom and dad.
Thank you.
I'll put it on the stand for you.
Before we clap for everybody, I want to let you all know, and those who may be listening outside or in the sanctuary, that our graduates have tables set up around the gym today. And so if you would like to come see some of their accomplishments and pictures and that kind of thing, those are in here. The tables are 6 feet apart, I measured. So you can social distance as you look. But also for those of you who are watching at home or aren't ready to get into big groups yet. I will be taking pictures of the tables before they tear them down, and I will be posting them in the comment section underneath the video from today's service online so that those who aren't here can still see those tables and celebrate with all of our graduates. So let's give a hand to all of our graduates today. You got anything?
Yeah, show them your love, man. I tell you, this has been a really, really tough class, the class of 2020. It's often been said they'll have stories to be able to tell their grandchildren. I don't know if they're going to be necessarily the fun stories. If you guys want to go over there and stand by your tables, that would be great. Give folks a chance to see you, maybe slip a little of that green cabbage in your pocket. You never know what might happen along the way. As David mentioned, the tables are up in here. If you're out on the lawn, or if you're over in the sanctuary listening to the simulcast, please step over, take a look at the accomplishments. We have got some wonderful, I'm not going to say kids, I'm going to say young people, in every respect of who they are. So let's make sure we celebrate them. Let's make sure that they don't get left out just because of COVID-19. Let's make this great for each and every one of them. As we go, I can't say enough thank yous to those who make all this possible, the production, and although a lot of folks say, well, a church doesn't do a production, it is. So you all watching at home, that takes people to do that. So thanks to Don and Blake for working so hard and many, many hours to make this happen. Don with sound so the people outside can hear, as well as Tim Wharf over in the sanctuary, who keeps things going over there with the simulcast running and keeps you comfortable temperature-wise. So it's been a blessing to be able to work together in that regard. It is so good to see you guys. We love you so much. If there's nothing else, I'll just close us out in a word of prayer. And we thank you so much for being here. I do want to remind you, as we leave, my closing prayer will also be our offertory prayer. If you need envelopes, we do have them on the table right here inside the multi-purpose room door on the table. There is a box there you can drop your offering in as you go. If you're out on the lawn, there's one on the table that you will see close to the sidewalk leading up to the shopping center. And if you're in the sanctuary, you can just drop that in the offering plates down on the front. And I believe there'll be somebody that will be there if you have driven in that'll have a receptacle. You could just drop that in on your way out. So let's have a closing prayer, and then let's celebrate our graduates. Let's pray together. Father, you are so good to us. Thank you for your word. Lord, I want to thank you for the fact that sometimes you do put us in exile, that you might get our attention. Lord, we've prayed so hard, and for each and every one of us, we ask that you would help us in that those times of exile to understand that you got to get our attention often, that you can speak to us, because so many things just crowd out who you are in our lives in this world today. Lord, I pray that we will give special attention to you. Lord, bless these graduates. I pray that you will just do some amazing things in this world through them. I pray that you will keep them close to you, and that they will keep you close to them. Bless them and honor and glorify them as only you can. Father, for the offering that we're about to take, that your ministry may go forward through Central Baptist Church, and Lord, that we might continue to worship you. We ask a special blessing upon the gift as well as the giver. And Lord, we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless y'all. We'll look forward to seeing you next week.